Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. I would invite you to open up to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. You know you have a problem when the first thing people say to you in the morning, "Good morning, Joe." Don't go overtime. "Good morning, Joe." Remember, the meeting ends at noon. I've spoken at other assemblies where, I spoke at one where it was like their grad, and here I am taking more time, but I spoke on a day where there was like a graduation ceremony for the high school kids, and I literally didn't get up to the platform until probably 11:40. I was like, I got to fit a 50-minute message into 20 minutes, but if you bear with me, I will talk as fast as I can to fit everything in. But I do like speaking at Fifth Avenue Chapel because I assume that you all will be more gracious with me. But it's raining outside. You don't have anywhere to go. There's not really much to do. But the Gospel of Mark chapter 14, this morning, we'll be looking at probably a familiar passage, but looking at the character of Peter in the Word of God. And this particular passage, we're going to be looking at Jesus' prediction of Peter's denial. And then we're going to jump ahead a few verses and see the fulfillment of that prophetic word that Jesus spoke. Peter actually denying the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read together Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 26. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' But he spoke more vehemently, 'If I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And they all said likewise." Now, we're going to jump ahead, but we see after, we see Jesus' prayer in the garden, we see his betrayal and arrest in the garden, we see him being led before the leaders and going on trial, and we're going to jump down to verse 66. So we had Jesus foretelling of Peter's denial. Now we're going to see that denial. Mark 14 and verse 66. "Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading and the study of his word this morning. Looking at this passage, again, many of us have probably read it multiple times. But here we look at Peter, a man of faith, as we look at other passages in Scripture. And yet we see here a struggling faith, at least in this moment in time. His faith was struggling. And this morning, we're going to look at Peter's struggling faith and see what can that teach us during times when our faith might be struggling. And it could be various situations that might cause our faith to struggle. But we're going to ask a number of questions and hopefully answer each of them as we go through this passage. But I ask, first of all, can we identify with Peter? Peter here was in a moment of time where his faith was struggling. Can we identify with him? Times of failure, times of unfaithfulness. I thought to myself, what is the opposite of faith? Well, the opposite of faithfulness is unfaithfulness, right? But the opposite of faith, if I could choose one word to mean the opposite of faith, what do you think it would be? And just looking through different commentaries and studies, doubt. Doubt was the word that came up over and over again. If we don't have faith, if we lack faith, we doubt. And doubt leads to anxiety and worry. Some of these other terms that have been tied in with the opposite of faith. So here we see Peter at a time of unfaithfulness, maybe a time of doubt, a time of lack of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only can we identify with Peter, but do we identify with him? Do we look into scriptures and learn from this particular example? We ask, what caused Peter's faith to struggle? What caused him to have doubts? How did he respond to others when his faith was struggling. We'll look at that as we take apart these verses. And last but not least, I ask this question, and if time allows, we'll get to it, but what good can come out of a struggling faith? What good can come out of a struggling faith? So a little bit of context. We kind of jumped right into the middle of chapter 14, but we see Jesus predicting Peter's denial immediately after what? Immediately after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And I thought right away, and when I consider the Lord's Supper, I consider that a time of refreshment, a refreshing time. And I thought of Acts 3, 19 and 20. Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come in the presence of the Lord. Now, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have trusted in him as our Savior, he is always with us, even in the privacy of our own home. He's with us, even in that intimate moment of devotional prayer. He's with us. But I always consider even our 9:15 morning where we were able to remember the Lord Jesus Christ around the bread and around the cup, a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. And it was immediately after this time of refreshing with the Lord Jesus Christ and Peter and the other apostles that Peter was going to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. And often that may happen with you and I. Maybe we just came through a time of refreshing, a great conference, a great Bible study, a great week away, a great Sunday morning. And even before we leave these doors, our faith may struggle. So again, we see this is Peter's specific example. I praise God as well for the parallel passages. So we see this account given to us in other gospels. So we'll refer to some of those a little bit later on. But we look at the character of Peter. And in various other passages, Peter is portrayed as a man of strong faith, of bold faith. We think of John chapter 6. We think of where Jesus in the Gospel of John chapter 6 is making these declarations that he is the bread of life. And he goes on to say, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. Right? And so many of us know what happened, right? Many of the followers of Christ, they said, this is a difficult teaching. Who can accept it? How can we understand it? How can we receive this? That was the response of some of the disciples. But in verse 69 of that chapter, what does Peter say? We have believed and have come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The bold declaration of faith of Peter, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. While many disciples were turning away, Peter's faith was strong. Another time, we see a similar statement made. Jesus says in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? And people respond, oh, John the Baptist or Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then Jesus goes on to say, who do you say that I am? And Peter, with this bold statement of faith, Peter answered again, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What confidence, what boldness, what strength in his faith, putting his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet now, in this passage, Mark 14, we see his faith struggling. Just so you guys can follow my thoughts, because I know I can be a little scattered, I like to do a little outline. And I'm going to ask a random question. Who is man's best friend? Now, we read from the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ sticks closer than a brother. But from the world's perspective, who is man's best friend? A dog, right? I heard a dog, right? A dog is man's best friend, right? Who is woman's best friend? Not cats. Who is a girl's best friend? Diamonds. Yes, thank you. I knew you knew it. Diamonds are a girl's best friend, right? So I didn't make a PowerPoint, but I wanted to do a little bit of a visual aid. So you remember, because 3 Sundays from now, the only thing you're going to remember is that I went overtime. You won't remember anything that I said. All right, but visual aids. I'm all about visual aids. This morning, we're going to look at 4 things that may cause our faith to struggle as we look at Mark chapter 14. And I want to relate it to a diamond. And I have a little quote that I wrote down here. And I'm not a gemologist. I don't know all the ins and outs of how diamonds are formed. But I know there's high heat, intense pressure. That environment is where the diamond is formed. And just as diamonds are formed by exposure to high pressure environments, the formation of our faith will occur as we are exposed to high pressure conditions as well. All right. So when we talk about the quality of our faith, and I appreciate it. It was earlier this year, our brother Don Dunkerton spoke, and he talked about saving faith and persevering faith. So saving faith, it's not how much faith can I have so that the Lord Jesus Christ will save me. Once we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross for our sins, we're saved. That sacrifice is once and for all. But then our brother Don talked about and used the term persevering faith. Once we've put our faith and trust for salvation in Christ, that daily faith, that persevering faith, living a life in faithfulness to God, depending and fully trusting in him. That's the kind of faith we're talking about when we're talking about a struggling faith. My prayer is that everyone here has put their faith for salvation in Christ. But our faith may wax and wane, back and forth, strong and struggling as we go and walk day to day. So, when we talk about not just the quality of our faith, I'm kind of trying to make this parallel. When we talk about diamonds, what characteristics are looked at to determine its quality? So, I might pick on the most recently engaged and married couple. So, I'm thinking that might be Buddy and Annie. Buddy, the quality of a diamond, what are you looking for? Okay, so tell me, what's that called? The four C's. I see a couple of people. So you gave me two of the C's, right? So who knows the four C's? Cut, clarity, color, and carat, right? So, and recently I've heard of a fifth C. People now talk about certification. I guess that's you want to make sure it's the real deal, right? I say the sixth C is the most important one. How much is this going to cost me, right? That's the most important one. But we have four C's. Now, I was going to borrow the engagement ring that I bought for Julie to bring up here and show to you guys, but you wouldn't have been able to see it. I would ask you to come up. You still probably couldn't see it. So I actually got the ring that Julie gave to me when she proposed to me. So just so you guys can see it. All right. But we have a diamond here. Not a real diamond. Don't worry. If you can't see it, I think there, lights up blue. Quality stuff from Amazon, right? So, but just as a visual aid, the quality of a diamond, we look at the four C's, right? So I want you to remember this, the four C's of a struggling faith. That's what we're going to look at. So again, a little bit of a different statement I'm going to make to you. Just as the quality of a diamond is described by these four C's, we're going to look at four C's that help to shape and strengthen our faith. Even though there are four C's that might cause a struggling faith, it's going to shape and redefine and strengthen our faith. So I wonder if I can prop this up here somehow, just so you see it as a little visual aid. I don't want to break anything there. Okay, good. So now you see it. All right, so four things that may cause our faith to struggle. Starting off with number one, confusion. Our first C, confusion. Now we see Jesus Christ make a pretty clear statement in verse 27 and 28. And Peter responds, Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. And off the bat, I mean, really to paraphrase Peter's response, he's saying, Jesus, you're wrong. Jesus, you're wrong. Could someone actually say that? So I'm thinking, you know what? Possibly he's confused. He's not quite clear on what Jesus is saying. Maybe, what does he mean? We will all be made to stumble. Peter said, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me. But we know that the disciples were confused at other times, right? And we're not going to turn to every passage, but the disciples were confused as we look throughout the Gospels. Mark chapter 8, Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. He says, do you not perceive? And they think about it for a while. And we get it now. It's because we forgot bread. No, well, that wasn't the reason Jesus said that. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said one of them would betray him. And it says the disciples were perplexed. They were perplexed. Again, Jesus foretells of his triumphal entry, of his death, of being delivered into the hands of men, of being killed and raised from the dead. And over, the disciples did not understand. This is the word of God. The apostles, the followers of Christ, did not perceive it when he said. There were many times that the disciples were confused, which is why I just step back and say, Lord, I'm so thankful that the gospel is simple. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. The gospel is simple. Luke 18, let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of God. Right? You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. Let the little children come to me. The gospel is simple. But let's be honest. Are parts of scripture a little bit tough to understand? Are some parts of the word of God a little bit tough to comprehend? I'll admit for myself, yes, it is. Sometimes I'll read something, I'm just like, I don't get it, shut it, and move on with my day. Again, some parts of the Word of God can be overwhelming. But whether simple or complex, the Lord Jesus Christ has granted us understanding. If we could turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, just to read a few verses here. And another moment when the disciples' faith was struggling. Again, Jesus appears to them in his resurrected form. And he says, Luke 24, 44, "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" And verse 45, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." When was the last time you read a verse or a passage in the Bible that you were confused? It happens to me, you know, more often than not. You read something, "Look, is this something that's already happened? Is this a prophetic word? What do all the details mean? I don't understand all the words." But Jesus here says to his disciples, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Now, even though this statement is made to the disciples, I believe it's true for us today as well. And even as we look at 1 Corinthians and the Gospel of John, we learn that once we put our faith and trust in Christ, that the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Our eyes and our minds have been opened to understanding. Does that mean it's always going to be easy? No. Is it okay to be confused when we look into the Word of God? Well, yeah, absolutely. A lot of things we don't get surface value. When you look at it, you may not quite understand it. But we're told to search the Scriptures daily. Now, we look at Luke 24, just a few verses earlier from what we just read, verses 38 and 39, when Jesus was resurrected and appeared to his apostles. It says they were terrified and frightened, supposing that they had seen a spirit. Verse 38, "And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts?'" And I think it'd be safe to say that their faith was struggling at this point. Why do doubts arise in your hearts? We see these doubts. They didn't fully understand. There was confusion causing their faith to struggle. But what is the solution here? What does Jesus Christ say? Verse 39, "When we're confused, behold my hands and my feet." That invitation to come here. When you're confused, for each and every one of us, let's get back to the Word of God. You know, I read something I don't understand. We pray, "Lord, give me wisdom as I look into your Word." But Jesus invites us to come here. "Behold my hands and my feet. Come and see the crucified Christ, the risen Christ. Behold my hands and my feet. It is I." Again, the Lord Jesus Christ invites us near. Confusion can cause us to doubt. I think of a quote, "Doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs." I don't know who said it, but it's good to think what we believe. Yes, believe it firmly. But when we doubt something, well, you know what? Doubt those doubts and believe your beliefs. Doubt the doubts that you have. In other words, look into it. Why am I having these doubts? We don't just want to, you know, sweep it under the carpet or put it in the back of our minds and let it sit there. But look through the Word of God and ask God to clear things up for us. We look, and if we turn back to Mark chapter 14, I mentioned this first, see, because again, as I was looking through this passage, this was one of the things that I thought that could cause our faith to struggle, confusion. And maybe that's some of you here this morning. Now, the other thing, you know, I should have mentioned to start, anytime we come and, you know, even on a Sunday morning and listen from teaching from the Word of God, you know, my biggest prayer is that it's applicable, that each and every one of us walks in and it's like, "Oh, what a waste of time. That's got nothing to do with me." But to say, maybe there are some here right now that are struggling in their faith. Maybe, and this is even before getting to our four C's, but maybe you've come through a time of struggling faith. You've had doubts. You've had confusion. But now the Lord has gracefully brought you out of it. Maybe there's going to come a time when your faith is going to struggle. Maybe from whatever, you know, particular instance that you're going through. But I pray that as we go through these four C's this morning, to understand that we may struggle in our faith. But there is a solution. And part of that we see here, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold my hands and my feet." But looking at this particular example, going back to Mark chapter 14, we see, I think it's pretty clear that Peter wasn't confused when Jesus made that statement. That could cause our faith to struggle. But this particular instance, I don't think Peter was confused. Again, verse 30 and 31, Jesus clarifies specifically to who? To Peter. And he clarifies specifically what? That he would deny him three times. So it's pretty clear now. And rather than Peter's response being, "Oh, okay, Lord, now I understand. I'm sorry." No, what does he say? What does he say? He says in that next verse, in the New King James, it says, he spoke more vehemently. In the ESV, he spoke more emphatically. NASB, he spoke more insistently. He wasn't confused. He knew what he was saying. He was directly opposing the word spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we start thinking, what's wrong with this guy? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to say you're wrong. Before we start thinking that about Peter, look at the end of verse 31. They all said likewise. They all said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. What would you have done in that situation? What would I have done? I would like to say, no, Lord, whatever you say, you're right. You're the boss. But no, they all said likewise. And that brings us to our second C. One was confusion. Number two, confidence. But confidence in what? Confidence in the flesh. Or we could say overconfidence in self. Peter clearly understood the Lord Jesus Christ, and he directly opposed the word of God, the living word of God. He directly opposed the word of God. Why? Was he renouncing his faith? Was he giving up on the Lord Jesus Christ? No. He had more confidence in himself than he did in the Son of God. At least in this moment. More confidence in himself. Philippians chapter 3. Rejoicing in Christ Jesus, having no confidence in the flesh. Not little confidence in the flesh. Not less confidence in the flesh and more confidence in Christ. But no confidence in the flesh. Galatians 6 reminds us that we shouldn't boast in the flesh. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Peter could have even thought of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. In this particular instance, Peter was leaning on his own understanding. He was not acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ. He was putting confidence in himself. One of the memory verses early on that we've tried to teach Magadorn is Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Whether we're putting confidence in other men, other individuals, or confidence in ourselves, right? We do not want to do that. Have no confidence in the flesh. Not believing the promises of God will cause our faith to struggle. Having confidence in ourselves and not in him will cause our faith to struggle. I think of an example of Gideon. The Lord said to him in Judges 6, surely I will be with you and you will defeat the Midianites as one man. Now, when we talk about the signs of the fleece, and many of us are familiar with the story, various commentators offer various suggestions and interpretations. But one angle is, you know what? Gideon had a clear word, a clear direct word from God. I will defeat the Midianites through you. And what is Gideon's response? He says, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. Wait, hold on a second. God already said it. I'm going to say, well, Lord, if what you're saying is true, then I'm going to put my fleece. I make the ground wet and the fleece dry. Oh, well, you know what? That's enough. Make the fleece wet and the ground dry, the other way around. But here, sometimes the word of God is very clear. The word of God says, yeah, X, Y, Z. Other times it may not be clear. Thou shalt live at 11 Bampton. Thou shalt work at Monmouth Medical Center. We don't have that in the Word of God. So is it wrong to ask, Lord, please make it clear. Give me whatever sign that's going to direct me. No, that's fine. But I think the problem comes when the Word of God is clear and we don't obey it. We don't follow it. We don't believe it. You know, the saying is, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Then I've heard others say, it doesn't matter if you believe it. God said it. That settles it. That's it. This is the word of God declared to us. And so we think of this idea that, you know, let's not have confidence in ourselves. When the word of God is clear, we must obey it. And despite, when we come back to Mark 14, despite what the disciples say, I'm sure most of us know what happens, right? And we think, well, who was right when Peter is opposing the Lord Jesus Christ? Who was right, Peter or Jesus? We say, well, who has the better track record? We know Peter found himself in a little bit of trouble, right? Because he would say things, maybe not thinking it all the way through. But we have here that Jesus' prophetic word was fulfilled in verse 66 through 70. So it could be confusion that causes our faith to struggle. It could be confidence, overconfidence in ourselves, confidence in the flesh that causes our faith to struggle. Our third C, comfort. As we look at this scene, as Peter is about to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, I look at the physical comforts. Verse 67, and when she saw Peter warming himself. And other passages will make this clear. He is standing by a fire. He wants to be warm. He wants to be comfortable. And I couldn't but help I couldn't help but think of, you know what? Not only does Peter want to be comfortable physically, but he doesn't want to find himself in a socially uncomfortable situation. Because what happens here? Now, and I will say, just a little disclaimer, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the physical comforts that the Lord provides. But my mind went right to, you know what? Peter wants to be comfortable, but more so in a physical sense, even in a social aspect. He doesn't want to be labeled as an outsider. You know, and this was a very intense situation. We know that Jesus was being led to trial, that it was a very sensitive subject. But as we look at the denials of Peter, as Peter denies the Lord Jesus Christ, we see in the first one, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it, saying, now look at his denial here. And maybe you and I are guilty of this. I don't really understand what you're saying. I don't really quite get what you're saying. Didn't say, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We said, I don't understand what you're saying. And I like the way that Mark lays it out here. Because that first denial, it was kind of vague. I don't understand. And what happened after that first denial? A rooster crowed, right? A rooster crowed once. You would have thought, man, Peter might be, man, wait, rooster crowing? Didn't someone just say something about that? But he didn't. You know, but the Lord is giving him warning. Hey, turn back to me. Come back to me. His second denial, verse 70. It sounds like, according to Mark, that he wasn't even being spoken to. People were talking about him, and the Word of God says he denied it again. Doesn't give us specifically what he said. But then that third denial, he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Now, he probably never imagined himself saying that third denial, directly saying, I do not know this man. But all three of these are counted as denials, Peter denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He probably never imagined himself ever making that statement, but he slowly moved in that direction. How often will we not speak up or even subtly hide our faith just to be accepted? You know, just as, you know what, maybe just at this point in time, I don't want to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't directly say that, but maybe we live that out, right? So I like to look at verse 54. Now, we didn't read that, but Mark 14, verse 54. Whenever I share my testimony, I like to share this verse. Mark 14, verse 54. Peter followed him at a distance. Peter followed him at a distance. I came to know Christ as my Savior at a young age. But my entire life, all the way up through high school, following Christ, but perhaps from a distance. Now, I know Jeremy's already been picked on, so I'm going to pick on Dan. So I'm calling on the spot. So Dan, if you can come up here for me, just to give you a little visual, all right? So imagine following someone at a distance, right? So Dan, if you could just stand right down over here, and I'm over here. Look, I'm taking up more time. All right, so Dan, walk back. So as Dan's walking that way, I'm walking this way. I'm following him, right? And you're looking at me. Now, hold up. What color is Dan's shirt? I saw a handful of you look over there. Because if you're looking right at me, you can't see what he looks like. Right? Now, Dan, come to the middle of me. All right? So that was following at a distance. I was still following him, but from a distance. The middle. All right. So now, walk again. All right? I'm following him, but, okay, stop right there. But closer. And when you look at me, you can tell what color of his shirt, right? Because I'm following closer. All right. So, when we're following the Lord Jesus Christ closer, people will look at us and see, oh, he must be following Christ. When I was over here, you may not have even known that I was following Dan, right? We were so far away. And the majority of my Christian walk, all the way up through high school, and even at times today, I want to follow Christ. Absolutely. And praise the Lord for that, for any of us that want to follow Christ. But often we want to follow at a distance. Let me follow, but I don't want people to know that I'm that closely associated with him. We want people to look at us, if I'm following closely, and see Christ. That's our desire, that people will look at us, and we're following so closely that people see the Lord Jesus Christ when they look at us. When I thought of that example, I thought of driving. When we're driving, your safe following distance, the safest following distance is as far back from the car in front of you, right? And what do they say? For every 10 miles per hour, one car length or whatever the rule is now. But it's the opposite in the Christian walk. Your safest following distance is as close as you can possibly get. And it doesn't matter how long you've been in the faith. It doesn't matter how old, how young you are. Let's pray that we never get to the point where we say, I've arrived. You know what? I've gotten as close as I possibly am. We can always get closer. The Lord wants to embrace us, put his loving arms around us. May we desire that same close proximity to be found in his love, to draw closer to him. Are you following the Lord Jesus Christ at a distance today? Maybe it's at a time when your faith is struggling. Are you looking for the comforts of this life to provide peace for you and not the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ can offer? We had our first C, confusion can cause our faith to struggle. Second C, confidence in the flesh can cause our faith to struggle. Comfort can cause our faith to struggle. And this one kind of tied in with the comfort, but our fourth C, circumstances. Circumstances may cause our faith to struggle. When we look at the position that Peter was in, before we get too hard on him, where were all the other disciples? Now we look through this passage and other gospels and we find there were other disciples around, and some disciples were let in a little bit closer even because they knew someone. But we don't read of every disciple, every apostle here at this scene. Where were all the others? Right? Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances that cause our faith to struggle. Now, I don't know what everybody's going through. I don't know what that trial in your life may be right now. But sometimes the Lord allows certain circumstances to come into our life that may cause our faith to struggle. And we're going to look at how that's played out as we close with these last few verses. But just a few references. Look at Peter in Mark 14, as we just did, compared to Matthew 14. All right, Matthew 14, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking on the water towards the disciples in a storm as they're in the boat. And then, when they see him, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Again, we talk about the boldness of Peter's faith. Look at this. "And Jesus said, come, and Peter walked." And verse 30 tells us, "When he saw the wind was boisterous," he's looking at the wind and the waves around him, "he was afraid and began to sink." He started to focus on his circumstances and not on his Savior. He was focused on his circumstances and the wind and the waves around him. You know, and you might say, "Oh, well, Joe, how can you say that's his faith struggling?" Well, look at Jesus' response in verse 31. "O you of little faith, why did you doubt? O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And that's our tendency. We know, of course, yeah, the Lord saved us. He can get us through anything. But when we're in the heat of it, we're in the middle of that circumstance. Again, I was just thinking of just a number of people here at Fifth Avenue Chapel. And we're all going through a number of things, and we don't all know what we're going through. But I'll pick on Buddy again. Buddy's about to transition to a new role at work. Are there some anxieties, some concerns, some doubts? There might be, right? We think of Don and Amy, you know, looking into the sale of their home and the purchase of another home. You know, the questions, the circumstance that they're in. And we think of Teresa, you know, planning to go to South America to serve the Lord. Completely different change. So many people, even here at this gathering, that there are circumstances that we need to remember, hey, we don't know what we all are going through. So let's pray for one another. Let's invest in each other's lives and really lift people up to the Lord's care. But circumstances, our tendency, may we never find ourselves in a situation where the Lord Jesus Christ has to say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So the solution, all right, we have our four C's. I'm going to try and remember these: confusion, confidence, comfort, and circumstances that may cause our faith to struggle. But let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. I have 30 seconds. Luke 22 and verse 61. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, we read, it was that second rooster crow that made Peter remember what the Lord had said. Now we see, as we look at the Gospels as a whole, we have another little piece of the story here. Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. Immediately after Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? And we see here, immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. That's verse 60. And the Lord, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord. When the Lord looked at Peter, and the understanding is, the Lord looked at Peter. Well, my understanding is, well, Peter must have looked back. They must have made eye contact. And as soon as they made eye contact, as soon as Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he remembered the words of the Lord. And the same is true for each and every one of us. We might be struggling in our faith for whatever reason. We're confused at something. We have overconfidence in ourselves. We're looking for comfort. We are in a circumstance that causes us to struggle. But when we see our Savior face to face, I praise the Lord for our brother Coleman. It's good to have someone back at the chapel that prays longer than me. So thank you, Coleman. Thank you. But no, during during his prayer this morning, and I always appreciate that, always looking forward to the day when we see our Savior face to face, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ eye to eye, seeing the living Word of God. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters? We can come face to face with the living Word of God as well. This is the Word of God, and it is living. It is powerful, and we praise God for that. But when we're struggling in our faith, we come back to the Word primarily. We think of that time spent in the Word, time in prayer, time with fellow believers, that our faith might be strengthened. But seeing the Lord face to face, it's then when the Lord looked at Peter that Peter remembered the word of the Lord. May that be true for us. We might turn our eyes away from the Lord and look at the waves and the wind around us. But may we look at the Lord and look at his word. Just to share a few verses, you can stay in Luke 22, but 1 Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Again, you know, I brought this diamond here. Again, not gold, but value, precious, tested by fire, that our faith might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The solution, look to Christ. Look to his word. Look to the body of Christ as we are living examples of how Christ would live in this world today. But precious, tested by fire, and the goal, that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Another goal, James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. We talked about circumstances. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So when we talked about those four C's of a struggling faith, that struggling faith, the Lord can use that to strengthen our faith. Tested by fire, precious, and complete. And we'll close with this verse here, Luke chapter 22, and we're going to read verse 31 and 32. Here, again, another passage where Jesus is predicting Peter's denial. We have a little bit more to the story. Verse 31, Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And here's the verse I want to focus on. Verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. What an amazing thought that the Lord Jesus Christ, here in this particular example, but I believe it's true for us today, I have prayed for you. Our Savior has prayed for us. We know that our Savior seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's praying for us. Again, we look at, continue on, that your faith should not fail. Our faith may struggle, but the Lord is praying that we wouldn't fail, we'd be strengthened. We grow stronger and more bold in our faith. And when you have returned to me, and that's the goal, that when our faith struggles, the Lord carries us through that circumstance, that doubt, that confusion, that desires for this world's comfort. He carries us through and our faith is strengthened. And that last phrase, what is the purpose? Maybe your faith is struggling right now. Maybe you've been through a time of a struggling faith. Look at the end of verse 32. That we may strengthen the brethren. You know, and the body of Christ is such an amazing thing. You know what? I may not know what you're going through. You may not know what I'm going through, but I encourage you, one another, share your weaknesses with one another. Share your trials. Share your story. What are you going through? We come to church on Sunday mornings. We put up this facade that everything's going great. And it really isn't. And pray with one another and say, you know what? I may not understand what you're going through, but the Lord just recently brought me through a tough time. Let me pray for you. The goal is to strengthen the brethren. If none of us went through trials, how could we encourage one another? Oh, I know what you're going through. We may not fully understand, and we need to be careful with that we may not fully understand what someone's going through, but the goal of a struggling faith and the Lord delivering us out of it, that we may strengthen the brethren. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we strengthen one another as the Lord strengthens our faith. As we have been blessed, may we be a blessing to one another. We'll just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. We thank you that when we talk about our faith, that even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. We thank you that whatever comes our way, you are there for us, praying for us. We thank you for your son who is seated at your right hand on our behalf. We thank you for the salvation we have through him. But on our daily walk, we pray that you would strengthen our faith. Our faith may struggle. We may go through difficult times, but we pray that we would return to you, that we may strengthen one another, that you would beautify our faith, that it would become like this diamond, this precious as gold, tested by fire, that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would bless each individual and each family represented here as we go our separate ways. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.